League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Astros begin a three-game series against the Colorado Rockies tonight. The Rockies are the worst team in baseball by a great deal of games.
I mean, it's really, really bad.
They are 19-65 on the season. Sean Mapes, can you guess how many wins the second worst team in baseball has? The Chicago White Sox.
White Sox have 24.
28. Nine more wins. Nine. And this White Sox team was historically bad last year. Want to guess the run differential for the Colorado Rockies in 2025, Sean?
Okay, so they've played like 80 games.
84.
Minus 175.
Minus 221. They suck. They just suck.
I literally thought, what if they lost every game by three? And then I was like, wait, they've won some games. So I died 175. Oh, my God.
Really bad. Coors Field, hitter-friendly park. My hope is that the Astros bats, at least these next three games, get going.
Yeah.
Bit of a slump busting for guys like a Christian Walker or for some of the other guys that are out there on a regular basis. Who you want a little bit more from. Walker's really the one that's at the top of the list, though. Anything this Astros offense can get out of its offense, considering the injuries that they are playing through right now, I will gladly take it. Christian Walker's my number one. Yiner Diaz has been hitting better of late, so more of that from Yiner Diaz. Outside of that, maybe it's Mauricio Dubon gets going, but...
Yeah, maybe if we can get a little mini surge from Altuve. He homered on Sunday, but just a little bit, you know, juice those numbers a little bit. It's more for his season numbers. I want those looking a little better.
Dubon is probably going to play for Jeremy Peña at shortstop, I'd imagine. So that's why I look at Dubon from that perspective.
Yeah.
As far as Jeremy Peña goes, I have yet to see a corresponding move made because he was put on the 10-day injured list retroactive to June 28th, and they're hoping he'll be out for 2 weeks with a small fracture in his ribs. How do we say it, Sean?
Just a little bit of fracture.
Little bit. Sure. It's a fracture, guys.
Two weeks. He's going to travel with the team.
I don't buy them on that front. So, Fortune favors the bull. Fortune favors the bull? Well, No, Paul, stop thinking about marijuana. Fortune favors the bold, he said correctly the third time. Person who graduated from Syracuse University with a broadcast and digital journalism degree that was changed from a broadcast journalism degree because of the innuendo, BJ major. Think about that for a second. Back to BDJ majors like me. I think it's time for a little bit of boldness from Dana Brown, who's been very bold this year. I mean, he put Cam Smith in right field, and the guy played, what, zero games above Double A? And hadn't played in the outfield since the Cape Cod League, which isn't even an official league? It's like the Summer All-Star League for college athletes? There's a movie about it starring Freddie Prinze Jr.? Summer Catch? Yes, it's not good. Don't worry. I think Jessica Biel's in it as well. Forget about that. It's time to be bold. Screw it. It's time for Bryce Matthews. it's time for Bryce Matthews. Because, like, you're at a point right now where I feel like you should be playing Mauricio Dubon every day already. You've seen Altuve a lot at second base of late. Okay. Can't Dubon play left field? I think Dubon is better for you in the lineup on a daily basis. So that brings us back to Bryce Matthews, who maybe should get a look at shortstop. I say that because with the Sugar Land Space Cowboys of late, he has been doing very, very well. He's having a good year. There comes a point where you're probably not going to get that much more out of the minor leagues. So why not give Bryce Matthews, who has been really good over this month, where he is hitting .306 with a .409 on base percentage, slashing with a .960 OPS, .551 slugging percentage, 4 homers this month, 6 doubles, 3 triples. Why not? It's really been a 2-month thing for Bryce Matthews. May and June, he's been really good. And I get it. You want to give these guys more time. You don't want to screw up their confidence, blah, blah, blah. But it's worked out to this point for Danny Brown. It's worked out to this point for the Astros. Why not with Bryce Matthews right now? Jeremy Pena's hurt. Okay, maybe when Pena comes back from injury, you have to send Matthews back down. His development theoretically hindered. I know there's actually good reasons to not do it. But do you really think Jeremy Pena is going to be out for 2 weeks?
That to me is the key point.
I don't. I think it's going to be at least a month, if not multiple. Rib injuries take a while to come back from. I've never suffered one, but they're painful. And it's a pretty important piece of your body. Do you want to mess that up? It protects your vitals. I wouldn't want to mess it up. I wouldn't. I'm taking my sweet time coming back, especially if I'm Jeremy Pena and I know the Astros medical staff slash training staff's track record. I mean, he knows it. We all know it. If I were in Jeremy Pena's corner, like Scott Boras now is, I would advise Jeremy Pena, hey, these guys are kind of effing stupid. And again, they might not be, but that's the impression we all get. Hey, don't listen to them. Get a second opinion. Get a third opinion. You're in Houston.
Hey, look at that. That's Yordan Alvarez sitting right next to you in the dugout. Neither of you are playing. Ask him how long he's been out.
Yeah. Ask him what they thought he had at first. They thought he had a muscle strain because they forgot to give him an MRI, but then a month later they gave him one, and they were like, oh, it's a fracture that's 60% healed. I know. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, so whether that's Scott Boras or Jeremy Pena's new girlfriend or what, someone should be telling Pena to take a sweet time to come back, which lends itself to Dana Brown bringing up another young player. And I don't know, could Bryce Matthews play in more positions than shortstop? Is that what's holding him up? Like, say Pena comes back, oh, you got to send him down. Like, could Bryce Matthews play in the outfield?
Or play him at second.
Like, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Second base has been a revolving door at this moment in time.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it'll happen, but it is the type of move that Dana Brown would make. You know, it is, like you said, it is parallel to the effort we're bringing up Cam Smith right now to play a position he hasn't played before. Like, it is those kind of moves. It's what they've done with their starting rotation, where it's just like, hey, Colton Gordon, welcome to the Astros. It's a lot of these moves, and Dana Brown right now kind of has the hot hand to where if he does it, I believe it will work. So
I'm with you. I actually, anything Dana Brown does right now, screw it. Why not?
Involving minor leaguers. I will not say anytime he opens his mouth talking about an injury.
But that's neither here nor there. That's neither here nor there. What he says, again, what he says ultimately doesn't matter.
He's put
in that situation.
Yeah.
But he and Joe Espada are put in that situation, but his medical staff.
No, I agree.
I don't think it's their fault. I think they keep on speaking confidently for whatever reason because they're giving these guys the benefit of the doubt. Now, at this point, I would like them to stop giving the medical and training staff the benefit of the doubt, and I'd like Jim Crane to get on his varsity jacket and put on some sunglasses and come downstairs with a baseball bat and start smashing all this crappy lab equipment that can't figure out if a guy's got an effing bone fracture right away. Like, I want him to go, Jim Crane, with sunglasses on and a varsity letter jacket. I want him to go Office Space on the Astros x-ray machine, MRI machine, everything that wasn't able to determine that Yordan Alvarez had a hand fracture, Kyle Tucker had a shin fracture, and that Jeremy Pena had a rib fracture. Just destroy all the equipment in a show of force and then tell all the medical and training staff guys, hey, buddy boy, buckaroos, this could be you next. Not literally. Do not file a complaint with HR. I just mean from a I'd fire you perspective. I wouldn't hit you with a baseball bat. I would not go Negan for Walking Dead on you. I would never.
Yeah. Listen here, eggheads.
Eggheads.
Whatever he would call them.
Remember what I used to do to Furcus? I don't know.
I think Furcus is still around.
Remember,
right?
I saw a picture of Furcus, and I'm like, actually, I don't think Furcus would be bullied at all.
No, it's
his
just
name, is just his name is just an easy one to roll out there.
But I think that to me, it's the difference between what Dana Brown and Joe Espada say and the decisions that they actually make. Like the baseball decisions that they make, yes, good, all good for the most part this season. The Christian Walker. But the injury updates, like how are guys doing? No, I don't like that. But if Dana Brown thinks that Bryce Matthews is ready to come up, I believe him. That to me is what we'll find out. I don't think that whoever they call up to replace Pena's roster spot while he's on the IL, I don't think that service time will come into of like, well, we don't want to start Bryce Matthews' clock. To me, that's not how the Astros, for better or for worse, that's not how the Astros operate. I think that it will be an actual evaluation of, do they think that Bryce Matthews is ready?
And
I don't know. He's been hitting the ball well in the AAA.
Yeah. So he's hitting the ball well at the AAA level. Why not give him the next challenge? That's all. Why not is really my point about it. I don't think you have anything to lose at this moment in time. Outside of just having an offense that scores even less than they already are scoring without the leadoff hitter, that's the reason that their offense has been good at all this year.
Yeah, the best hitter over the first 85 games of the season.
Yep, pretty much, especially since moving into that leadoff spot. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 97.5. On the table, should the Astros give Bryce Matthews a chance to... Where do the Colorado Rockies rank among slump busters in baseball? And are you cool, like I am, with the Rockets walking away after the last two moves that they made yesterday? Dorian Finney-Smith, Clint Capella, the two players that they signed. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
Mariners watch.
They had a few things go their way today. We did not. It'll probably flip when we go to Seattle. I do know how hard it is to win on the road, and it'll be very hard for them to win in Seattle.
2025.
3-2 pitch. In the air, deep left center field, hit well. Rodriguez on the run, and it is gone! Oh, Jeremy Pena sends one to the seats, and the Astros lead 1-0 in the 18th inning.
July 1st, 2025. Hey, I know you guys might have forgotten about us because we haven't done anything in a while. And, like, we made a lot of expectations this year. People thought we were going to challenge for the AL West. And now we're six games back halfway through the year. But you should be paying attention to us right now. See what happened last night when we took out the Kansas City Royals 6-2. That's right. Cal Raleigh, big dumper, hit home run number 33. And we gave him MVP chance. Yeah, because guess what? His 33rd homer just tied Ken Griffey Jr. for the third most home runs before July in Major League Baseball history. Yeah. And sure, you might think to yourself, well, Paul, actually, baseball, you know... team sports are about winning championships and making the playoffs, which we've only done like five times, and the last time doesn't really count because it was a Mickey Mouse kind of thing, and then we got swept. You might think that, but you know what else matters? Individual awards. I bet you Astros fans wish you had two MVPs like we did in Ken Griffey Jr. and Ichiro Suzuki. Now your MVP candidate's hurt, bitch. Cal Raleigh, imagine if he got plunked on that dunk. He'd be fine. Jeremy Pena, ribs broken. We had a Rookie of the Year. We had a Cy Young. And we're going to raise another banner. Maybe not for an AL West title. Maybe not for a Mickey Mouse playoff appearance. But MVP, we're coming for it. Especially with Jeremy Pena dropping like a fly off a windshield. Or the kind of bricks that get thrown on Seattle overpasses at cop cars. Which happens from time to time. Mariners watch.
Wow, we haven't heard from that guy in a while. I thought he was dead.
Yeah. I thought the 18-inning game in the ALDS in 2022 killed him.
I did, and then I think he came back for a little bit in 2023, and then I think the just brutal month of September the Mariners had while the Astros were having a brutal month, I think he might have offed himself again. So he's like Rasputin, except for he just keeps on, you know, taking himself out. So I guess he's like at the point in the movie Groundhog Day where Bill Murray gets to.
Yeah.
When he's like, I'm done.
Throwing the toaster in the bath, yeah.
Jumping out of
the car.
Clock tower.
Oh, yeah.
Cop chase. Suicide by cop. Bill Murray does that in that, too. Dark movie.
Very dark movie.
Cal Raleigh. All to get Andy McDowell, by the way. Like, and listen, nothing against Andy McDowell, but I don't know. If I'm in Punxsutawney, I might try to get out, do a couple trips to Vegas.
I feel like I would have tried to make myself a better person, like, way earlier than Bill Murray did in that movie. I think I would have figured out why I was stuck in the time loop before Bill Murray did.
Gotcha, okay.
I wouldn't have gotten as desperate. Cal Raleigh, though, huh? What a year. 33, right? 33 home runs?
Dude, he's got a big dumper, too.
It's insane. Like, I don't think people are making enough of a...
No, they should.
Deal about, like, he's on pace for, like, 70 home runs.
And he's been on all the big-name shows. He's been on Pardon My Take. He's been on Pat McAfee. I mean, to his credit, he's doing well. And this is a guy who, not too long ago, called out Mariners ownership for their obstinance when it came to investing in the best possible team. But that's what it looks like this Mariners season is going to be, like a Mike Trout campaign where it's doomed, but he might win MVP.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's going to hit 60 home runs. Like, if he drops his pace a little bit, he's going to hit 60. So, yeah, it is the season, I guess, that is the season they're having. Is the remember when Cal Raleigh was turned into Barry Bonds for one season and they maybe make the wild card? I actually don't know how far out of the wild card they are. But
I'm not at this moment in time either. I can look that up. Someone texted in, I wish Mariners Watch Guy was dead. What? You didn't like the Robert Pattinson Batman? Come on.
And they just finished the script for number two, apparently. They currently are the third wild card team, the Mariners.
Interesting.
So,
okay. Interesting.
2.5 up on the Angels, 3 up on the Boston Red Sox.
God, the American League sucks this year.
The Boston Red Sox trade away their best hitter. And
they're still hanging around.
Three games out.
They've lost 7 of 10, too, and they're still hanging around. Goodness gracious. Junior Broncos, you're wrong. Emo Batman, a.k.a. Robert Pattinson Batman, is the second best Batman film to only The Dark Knight. The original Batman movie sucks. I rewatched it. The original Batman Returns sucks. They don't hold up. They were great for their time. But you really like this Tim Burton crap? Over what we've been throwing recently. Dark Knight Rises, terrible plot. Better than a lot of the original ones, too.
The plot, I will say, though, the first time you watch it, you don't notice that the plot makes very little sense. It's such a flimsy plot.
For Dark Knight Rises?
Yes.
Yeah.
But by the, like, you know, credit to it, it's good enough to where you want to watch it three, four times. You're like, wait a second. What?
Yeah.
What's happening? What's going on?
Mount Rushmore of Batman movies. Number one, The Dark Knight.
Okay.
Number two, The Batman.
Okay.
Number three, and this is where it gets controversial, I like Batman Begins a lot. And if I have to give it to another Batman movie, fine. I will give it to Batman and Robin. Oh, didn't see that one coming. Because it's so bad, it's good. Bomb. Bomb. They have Bane, who's got mental handicaps in that one. You got Uma Thurman. You got Alicia Silverstone, strong, powerful, independent women. And you got Mr. Freeze, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, that's hard to beat.
And lots of nipples. Lots of nipples and butt shots. It was a little horny.
Definitely the most nipples ever in a Batman movie.
Yeah. Michael Keaton, Batman, couldn't turn his head. I watched Batman Returns for the first time ever recently. Awful. I thought it was awful.
That's the
one with Danny DeVito as the Penguin and Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
And, who's the...
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken.
He plays like the Toy Store.
By the way, the guy's name is Shrek.
Yep.
Before the movie Shrek. So
not
they
too long before.
Keep just calling him Shrek, and I'm like, this is breaking my brain.
That one, not so good. And Batman Forever, I haven't seen that yet. Should I? I don't know. R.I.P. Val Kilmer. Tommy Lee Jones is in it. Apparently, he hated Jim Carrey so much that he, like,
not surprising. Not surprising those two guys didn't get along.
He's a method actor, Jim Carrey. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. The Rockies are truly the slump buster of all slump busters in sports. I don't think anyone holds a candle to them. Not one.
No.
I don't think there's anyone in their weight class, truly. I think it is that much separation from everybody else. And look, the NFL's got some bad teams and the NBA's got some bad teams, but...
We haven't had, like, a disaster NFL team in a while.
No.
Where it's just, like the Hugh Jackson Browns. Like, we haven't had that level of, like,
the Orlovsky Lions.
Yeah. Or, yeah. Yeah. Where it's just like, oh, my God. Like, anyone can beat these guys.
Maybe the Washington Wizards in the NBA? Because it feels like the Wizards have been the worst team in the NBA for, like, a decade. It's been a while since I remember them as a contender.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been bad for a while. Although, like, the Pistons were worse. You know, like, until this past year, the Pistons were right down there with them. I guess the Rockets, not that far removed from 20-win Rockets teams.
But they are removed from it.
Yes, you're right. They are removed from that now. So, yeah, I mean, it might just be last year's White Sox. Like, that's the other.
Who are still bad, but 9 games better than these Rockies.
Lance McCullers against an NL Central team. He said it. Lance McCullers said it.
He is the slump buster. That's
he
right.
He said that...
they're my daddy.
The NL Central is my daddy. I hope the next time that they play an NL Central team, they chant the fan... they probably won't because I doubt they keep up with Lance McCullers' quotes. But if they go to... I don't know. If they go to St. Louis, I hope they chant, "Who's your daddy?" Like they're... Like it's the Red Sox Yankees.
Oh, that would be funny. Yeah.
But it's Milwaukee. Like just a half empty Milwaukee Brewers Miller Stadium or Miller Park.
That would be really funny. So Astros have a 6-game lead now on the Seattle Mariners. And last night the Rangers lost. They're now 9.5 games back. And the big moment from that game is that Adolis Garcia had the most ridiculous bat flip you'll ever see. You should look it up. I wonder how long it'll take for him to get plunked tonight.
Yeah.
The Rangers play the Orioles, the second game of that set. I mean, that was a feisty game, so with two teams that are really underachieving, the Orioles have really been bad.
I was going to say, two teams that have underachieved and really, like, I feel like this is the last, maybe less so for the Rangers, just because I recently looked at the AL wildcard standings, and they're not that far out from the AL wildcard. But it's two teams that really, they've underachieved so far, and I feel like the next few weeks, it's kind of going to make or break their season as far as, like, can we salvage this in any way? A little bit like we saw with the Astros last season, where it was, I guess it was in June, so we're now past that. But it wasn't until June until the Astros got their season back on track. And so... It's getting pretty late for these two teams. I don't know if that affects how feisty they're willing to be in a series, whether they're going to start throwing at each other. But apparently, it was pretty feisty last night, at least with the bat flips that they had. So, and the Garcia one, it's like It's like out of a baseball movie where you're like, all right, that's unrealistic. Like, no one celebrates that much.
No,
it no, you did it.
That's a great point. It really is out of a movie to the point where I'm surprised that no one shot him on the Orioles.
Okay.
What? I mean, seriously, it was intense.
Like it's White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah, yeah. Like he just punked him. And I mean, Gunnar Henderson flipped his bat first, so it was retaliatory. But goodness gracious, Garcia, yeah, he's getting plunked tonight. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. I don't know if you can bet on that somewhere, but you should be able to.
Hit by pitch.
Up next, biggest move in the NBA today has apparently ruffled the most important feathers that it was not supposed to ruffle. What am I talking about? You'll find out next. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Astros take on the Rockies for three starting tonight. Coors Field in Denver. The Rockets, over the last 24 hours, signed two more pieces to add in an offseason where they traded for Kevin Durant, Dorian Finney-Smith, a 3-and-D player. 41% three-point shooter over his career. I think he's an upgrade on Dylan Brooks. Less drama. Clint Capella, 3 years, $21.5 million. They now have three centers. So they have upgraded. They have a lot of depth. I'm cool with them walking away. I don't think they need to do anything more. Big news in the NBA today was that Damian Lillard was waived. And they're going to stretch the remaining $113 million on his contract to acquire Miles Turner. Lillard is rehabbing a torn Achilles. So that move makes sense. You're taking from the Pacers. You're upgrading the Bucks in the short term. Lillard, will he ever be the same player again? I don't know, but not going to play this coming season given that he busted his Achilles in the playoffs. There's a lot that adds up to this perhaps being something that would make Giannis Antetokounmpo happy. And there lies the problem because per Chris Haynes, NBA insider, Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo is not pleased with the team's decision to waive Damian Lillard. Giannis posted on X, mood 100, a picture of a Bucks player smoking a cigar and holding a dinosaur and a bottle of champagne, like a stuffed dinosaur, with the caption, I don't know what's going on right now, comma, man, period. So, at the very least, Giannis is weirded out by Lillard just getting outright waved. And behind closed doors, it seems, at least per Crispy Haynes, that he's not happy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much weight I put into this.
Into Crispy Haynes?
Well, that, and also just...
Crispy Haynes has not had a great
this,
48 hours.
It seems like...
As far as reporting.
If I want to take this all at face value, so you're mean to tell me that the Bucks signed up to cut Damian Lillard, probably like the most amount of dead money any NBA team's ever decided to have on their books, to sign a Brook Lopez replacement in Miles Turner, which is fine. You're getting younger there. That's all right. And they did not talk to Giannis, and Giannis actually does not want this to happen.
So maybe he wants people to think that
that's what I think.
Damian Lillard...
I think he's going, oh, man. I hate that we had to do this.
Damn, that's...
The guy that won't play for a year, and then when he does come back, he's a six-foot point guard who's coming off an Achilles and is 35. Yeah. Damn, I really wanted to play with this guy.
Man.
I guess we'll have to play for the starting center for the team that made the finals. Okay, I guess I will. That's how I read it. Or Chris Haynes is just wrong. Which would not be the first time.
I mean, we'll get to that in a moment. So, you know, we were just talking about Batman recently. Are you suggesting that Giannis Antetokounmpo might be Two-Face? We were just talking about Batman.
Yes. Yeah, I think he...
Aaron Eckhart, Two-Face. A good Two-Face.
He walked in and he had a coin and he told Damian Lillard, heads or tails. And then it was heads. And Damian Lillard has to head out now of Milwaukee.
See ya.
I think it's a wild move from Milwaukee. It's definitely a move that, like, I didn't even consider as possible. It's like, oh, what if we just waive this guy making $50 million a year? Oh, okay. I didn't know that was
sure.
I didn't know that was – you're okay with that.
Yeah.
It is creative, and it makes them better this year given the hand that they're dealt of no – they were going to have Damian Lillard this year anyway, so might as well add Miles Turner. But it's not like – I don't know. It's not like a move where I'm like, all right, Giannis, boom, we did everything. It's like really you just kind of let go of Damian Lillard and replaced Brooke Lopez with Miles Turner and brought everyone else back.
Okay.
Like it's still like I can squint and see why you do that and why it's palatable for the Bucks to do that. It's also like not so good that I'm like it's out of the question. Giannis is definitely coming back. Or he wants to come back for this season, but long term, like nothing changed long term. I don't know.
We'll keep an eye on that one. I like where you're thinking.
Yeah, shout out to Chris Haynes for, you know, give us a little
doing his best,
and give us a little carrot of like, okay, so we can't completely close the book on Giannis asking for a trade. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that as someone who has to do
student content
radio in the month of July,
the worst month.
Thank you, Chris Haynes.
We appreciate Chris Haynes. Speaking of Chris Haynes, every single Tuesday at 2:30, we talk about the worst takes in sports. Hit it.
Bad take.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Don't listen to that guy. We love him.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
It's Worst Take Tuesday.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Worst Take Tuesday. All NBA insiders, you're not doing so hot. First, Shams Charania keeps on promising big moves and keeps on telling people to stay up late and watch ESPN to see him report on these big moves, only for none of them to happen outside of Damian Lillard getting cut today. Here he is on the Scott Van Pelt Show telling him not to sleep.
I know what you're going to be doing over the next couple hours and days. That's going to be working those phone lines. I'll have my ears out, as all of our viewers will as well.
Don't sleep, Scott.
Don't sleep. Well, he went to sleep. I think that's a week ago.
Yes. I think that was the day after the draft, maybe?
I think it was the day after the Durant trade.
It was something like that.
Yeah, it's been a while. Meanwhile, Shams also said this on Pat McAfee's show yesterday. There's going to be some big deals Monday night.
We should expect a lot more, is what you're saying, it sounds like.
There's going to be some big deals tonight, Pat. There's going to be some big deals tonight, Pat.
That was good. You're eager for this
big,
evening.
Big ones?
Yeah, how big are we talking? Well, you talking most craziest big?
Yeah.
You know?
Better be.
Not yet.
Liar. I do not trust Shams Charania as a Big J journalist. I don't. It's time to give Kelly Yeko's writing video essays. It's time to give Kelly Yeko that role.
I'm down with that. Actually, learning about what Shams has to do to be Shams Charania, like how he made his way to the top, it seems like a terrible life. It seems so bad.
Stabbing Woj in the back.
Well, that and I don't have that big of a problem with.
Whoa, anti Woj guy.
Yeah, hey. Anything to move up the ladder, right, Paul?
Okay, little finger.
Chaos is luck. The NBA playoff or the NBA offseason is the ladder. No, but apparently he was just like he had to like cold call GMs or cold call like low level people, and he's just always on his phone. And when he announces these signings, he has to include the agents who negotiate the deal like anyone cares. Like
yeah.
it seems like such a terrible life to be an insider.
I'm with you there.
So much ass kissing, like
maybe focus on the TV presentation, Shams. That's all.
That too. I do wonder
and stop lying.
I wonder how much he is like getting the note of like, hey, you can't tell people that nothing's gonna happen. that the Rockets are gonna win free agency by signing Dorian Finney-Smith to $14 million a year and Clint Capella to $7 million a year. Like that can't be the headline of like stay tuned all night for what could happen.
I think Crispy Haynes had reported that NBA owners are disappointed with how little has happened this offseason because they realize it's such a big part of this offseason. And, yeah, Shams is, like, saying, like, no, it's actually going to happen.
Yeah, well, I wonder. I took that Chris Haynes thing, like, it was so weird because, like, he's right. Like, the free agency is, like, just never mind the players available, because that's a different thing. Just the amount of cap space that teams have. They just have less. There's less teams with cap space now than there were in years past. We're coming into this offseason. It was basically just the Nets and the Pistons.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I mean, that's partially due to the new CBA they just signed, so, which seemed very owner-friendly, but maybe the owner's like, you know, look, it's actually good for business if it's a little bit crazier.
Right, yeah.
As opposed to, like, it's impossible to make trades. Everyone has to be financially conscious. It's like, actually, it was better when we're spending money like drunken sailors.
Yeah, yeah. When it's just a bunch of dumb stuff happening.
The thing is, they spend the same amount of money.
Yeah.
It's just, now they're more am I re-signing my own guys, or am I going out and getting new guys?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, everyone's drafting and developing.
We need lame. More dumb teams.
Yeah, bring back some drunk people.
Though. Matt Ishbia, get working. Get the Suns. Make another trade.
People who are buying the bottles of that Casa Azul or whatever the hell it's called, tequila. We need those people, these big bleepers who do it for the sake of doing it. Meanwhile, speaking of NBA insiders, Chris Haynes keeps slipping up. He said Jake LaRavia was resigning with the Kings. He signed with the Lakers. He also had a picture of D'Angelo Russell signing with the Mavericks with the Croc Photoshop, but the Photoshop was really bad. It just misspelled the word Mavericks. It says, it just said the wrong, basically. It didn't say Dallas. It was like some weird misspelling of Dallas written by AI.
Yeah, an AI misspelling.
Yeah, not good.
No, tough one. In the power vacuum of, you know, Woj, Shams kind of moved up the spot. We're wondering who's going to be the next Shams. Doesn't look like it's going to be Chris Haynes.
Worst take Tuesday continues. I got to change it to terrible take Tuesday. I thought I did already. Do you want the WNBA in Houston? It's not coming. But, hey, maybe this bad take by Christine Brennan, who wrote a book about Caitlin Clark, could make it happen. While promoting her new Clark biography on ESPN Los Angeles, she was asked, could Caitlin Clark start her own league? And she actually gave an answer that said, well, it's not the craziest thing. Nike loves her. She's got Gatorade. She's got Wilson. She's making $28 million from Nike. So she's at $40 million, whatever. Is that enough to buy the league? Forget I asked that question. She brings up that the TV contract, the WNBA's viewership, it's all about Caitlin. It's not about Angel Reese. And it's not, for those out there who are still in denial about that, whether or not you'll love Caitlin Clark as a player, like it is about Caitlin Clark. Christine Brennan thinks that Caitlin Clark could start her own league. So if Christine Brennan is right about Caitlin Clark starting her own league, Houston could bring the Comets back. The first of the CCNBA. Not to be confused with, like, the Chinese Communist NBA, which
we
a
can
lot
work
of people
on
would
the
argue.
Why are we talking about this? Like, NBA discourse gets pretty bad. Why are we talking about could a player in her second year start a new league?
Because,
which, by the way, people, like, they haven't really figured out the finances of league for 20 years.
Because it's late June, early July.
But if you're talking WNBA, the season is going on. Like, if you've already made the decision to have the Caitlin Clark woman on your show, like, ask about Caitlin Clark? Not about a hypothetical that'll never happen?
That's fair.
Could LeBron start his own league? That's a dumb topic.
In Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Worst Take Tuesday continues. Skip Bayless called Tom Brady a sellout for calling LeBron James the greatest of all time at the Fanatics thing. Meanwhile, Skip Bayless, and I'll spare you this, did a 15-minute video saying boxer Jake Paul, who is now ranked per the WBA, is, quote, him, end quote. 15 minutes glazing Jake Paul after calling Tom Brady a sellout. How much did Jake Paul pay you for that? To talk about the fight that no one should watch? Because I don't remember if he was the one who fought Mike Tyson or not. I don't care either. They're both frauds when it comes to this. I know they put in the work. I have no interest in watching it unless the person that they fight clobbers them.
Yeah, I'm glad as a country, we seem to have moved past the Paul fascination, the Paul brother fighting fascination. We all watched it. I think what happens, we all watched the Tyson fight, and we're like, oh, wait, this sucks every time. It sucks every single time. It's never been good. Why are we watching?
They have a TV show now, too.
Yeah, on Max. It gets promoted every once in a while.
Poor Nina Agdal. She's married to one of them, but I forget which one. Like, again, I can't differentiate the two. I get it. They're more successful than me. They both suck. They just suck. I hate both of them, and I don't know much about them. Like, I just am conditioned to hate them, and I think that's part of their brand is that they know that people that have strong opinions about them means that people will watch them doing whatever because they want to see them fail, and yet they keep on finding these situations where they don't fail because as soon as they fail, they cease to be relevant. One last one, Worst Take Tuesday. Bill Simmons didn't like Kendrick Perkins saying that Toronto's first-round pick made them a top-six Eastern Conference Finals team. It made him want to change the channel. His response was, Bill, you're bitter that you're no longer at ESPN. Do you think he's bitter he's no longer at ESPN?
He has a $200 million Spotify contract.
Right, $200 million Spotify contract. He doesn't even have to pay as close attention to basketball as he used to because he's definitely not throwing his fastball when it comes to sports.
Turns on his laptop in his living room and talks to his friends.
He just exactly. His podcast is him talking to his friends. He does a movie podcast once a week that's way better. Simmons is not bitter about leaving ESPN. He might have been at first. At this point, no, they're just making fun of what ESPN NBA coverage has become, which is bad. To the point where they're throwing all of their money now at the inside the NBA crew to make it a better product. Worst Take Tuesday. Every single Tuesday at 2:30. Let's get to a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Headline from Fox 26. Man with 25 convictions for indecent exposure gets a bond shortly after being found competent. This is a Houston man, Gregory Wade Brooks, registered sex offender. He was exposing himself for his own personal gratification. He's been to prison for this. He's not going to stop. He pled guilty earlier this year after being in a mental facility for 8 months, but he stood trial and was released on a personal recognizance bond. He's going to do this again 25 times. I mean, it's the same thing over and over again. I mean, hopefully he's harmed nobody. I would say someone that does this, things like this repetitively, despite the consequences over and over, I would say I respect the commitment to the bit. But the man is exposing himself in public all the time. 25 times.
25. I don't... 25. That's crazy.
25!
That's crazy. How is he found competent? 25 times? That's insane. That's an insane thing to do.
He's back in jail. His bond set at $30,000. So I doubt anyone's paid it.
You only have to do 10%.
Really?
Yeah.
Still, who's paying $3,000 for a 25-times exposure? I'm impressed by the amount of times he's exposed himself.
I'm not impressed.
And him not being in jail. I'm impressed by that side of it.
Okay. I'm not impressed by anything this guy does.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm impressed that he's apparently not found insane. I don't know how that works.
I don't either.
I feel like there's a screw loose.
After spending 8 months in a mental facility... What, you thought this was going to stop time number 25?
Yeah. You need at least 10 months, you know?
Goodness gracious. This is the wish list from Amazon for the new James Bond. Tom Holland. Harris Dickinson. Never heard of him. I saw him described as a painting of an 18th century British lord who died of consumption. And Jacob Elordi from Saltburn. And also from...
Isn't he like 6'5"?
Maybe
he's just like tall for an actor, so he looks 6'5", but I feel like he's too big to be...
I don't know. I feel like, in 2025, what James Bond gets the most action? James Bond being 6'5" and having the Gen Z, like, Mew face, I feel like that makes him very believable as somebody who is literally doing... all of the sex.
Listed height, 6'5".
Okay.
So he actually is.
I think he could be. I did not know he was that tall. I think it could be Bond.
Play small forward.
Ladies like the tall guys now.
Yeah.
They're into the talls. Like, I feel like that makes him more believable as a Bond, where he's just like basically slinging it all over the place.
I did not watch Saltburn or the other thing that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
Can this guy act? I feel like we haven't asked this question yet. Is this guy a good
TBD.
Actor?
I don't know.
I watched him.
I really do not know if
he's good. Amazon, I get it. You're excited. You have Bond. Bezos, congratulations on the wedding. Must not have gotten the invite. I would throw in like one of the factors I would consider is, can this guy act? Not, is this guy 25 in English? I would just throw in one extra thing.
Okay.
One extra thing.
That's fair.
Call me crazy.
Acting?
He's the billionaire. I'm not.
Acting is important for actors.
If you want to make a movie, yeah.
On that note, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and you've downloaded the brand new app. Big thanks to our texters, callers, YouTubers, and our Twitchers, and of course, Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.